we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome. We are Redemption Church. That's who we are, of Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so happy to serve as lead pastor here at Redemption Church. We get asked this question a lot. What kind of church is Redemption Church? Well, let me tell you, we are the kind of church that believes in community. We believe in it. We believe that if you say you love Jesus, but don't love the people around you, that you've got, you're mistaken on some things. Because loving Jesus is loving the people around you. We're called to love Jesus and love each other. Can I get an amen? I'm in a church that believes in community. Oh, absolutely. Jesus commands us to love one another just as he loves us. The level of our love is the level of love Christ has shown us. Therefore, we should live together in unity. If someone's mourning, we should mourn with them. If someone is joyfully celebrating, we should joyfully celebrate with them. That is community. We should do life together. We should hang out. We should bear each other's burdens and celebrate success together. I invite you to go deeper in community with us, okay? Go deeper in community, because that's the kind of church we are. And guess, let me just go a little further. It's great that you're here on Sunday, but it goes further than just showing up on a Sunday to live in community. That's the kind of church we are. Welcome to everybody online. Oh man, I can't see you guys online, but I bet y'all just look fantastic. Hello to everybody in the room. You guys look great. God bless all y'all, all right? We are back in the book of Colossians. Colossians is a letter. I want you to get your Bible out. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We took a five-week break from our Colossians study. And during that time, we looked at belief. We spent 4 weeks looking at belief. And last week, I just hauled off and preached to you about the Great Commission. And now we're going to be returning to this great letter from the Apostle Paul. If you missed any of the previous sermons in the Colossae series, they can be found on our website, redemption-church.com. Colossians chapter 3. Somebody pulled out their smartphone and it's talking to us. It's like reading Colossians 3 with us. Does anybody remember Preach? I think that was an Android phone. That's the problem. All right. Does anybody remember what the theme of Colossians is? There was a theme in Colossians. Christ is supreme. Very good. Christ is supreme. Say it out loud one more time. Christ is supreme. All right, we're going to read Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to go all the way through verse 11. Look on with me. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Verse 8, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Last verse, verse 11, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Can we clap our hands for the Word of God today? Thank you for the Word, God. Amen. All right, we touched on the first three verses in an earlier chapter, probably the last time we preached this series. You've been raised with Christ, so set your heart, set your mind, and set your life. Here's just a very simple review of that, okay? Verse 1, set your heart on things where Christ is. Set it on things above where Christ is. That means wherever Christ is, that's where your heart is. Verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So instead of worrying frantically about the things on earth, we are setting our thoughts, our minds on the things above, where Christ is. Verse 3, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. The location of your life is above the things of this world. We run into people all the time, and sometimes we are these people that we run around like, oh my goodness, if this thing happens on planet Earth, my life is over. If I don't get that promotion, my life is over. If that girl won't like me, then my life is over. If someone makes fun of me, then my life is over. If I don't get 60 Instagram shares just from this one picture I took, and it took me 2 hours to take it correctly, I don't think I can go on living. We live this way, but our life is not on this world. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. If you've really been raised with Christ, that's how it started, right? Since then, you've been raised with Christ, then your heart, your mind, and your life ought to testify to that fact. It ought to be very clear when we look on our hearts, when we look in our thoughts, when we look in our life, where we are placed in being raised with Christ, okay? All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, looking on right here. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I want to talk to you about the Jesus life. Somebody say Jesus life. When Christ, who is your life, I want you to just stop for one second. That is quite the declaration. What a declaration that is. He could have said, Christ, who is a part of your life. Couldn't he? Some of us would have said it that way. When Christ, who is such a big part of your life. I could hear some people saying that. Oh, how about this one? Christ, who gave you life. Right? How about this one? Christ, who saved and blessed your life. All these things are true. Absolutely. But no, Paul declares, Christ, who is your life. Scripture declares that Jesus is life on many occasions. Here's three of them very quickly. John 11 and 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14 and 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 1 and 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. We could go on and on. But we got a chapter to get to, all right? All over your word, all over the word of God, it's declaring that Jesus Christ doesn't just give you life. He doesn't just improve your life. He is life. He is life. Jesus didn't just give us life, a physical life, when he created us. He didn't just give us spiritual life when he saved us. He didn't just give life and then, you know, walk away and go tend to something else. He is continually our life. It was not a one-time occasion where he gave you life. He right now, in this moment, while your heart is going a-thunk-a-thunk, a-thunk-a-thunk, Jesus Christ is the life beat of that heart. Jesus Christ is the life of my mind. He is my life force. He is all of this. Jesus Christ is my life continually, continually. Continually. I would tell you this, that even if you are dead and buried in a tomb one day, I got news for you. Jesus Christ is your life, and because he is your life, what's going to happen to that body? You are going to raise from the dead back to life. Amen. Anybody believe that? Am I in the right church today? Y'all believe that Jesus Christ is your life? Yeah. Somebody say amen. We would do well to live like he is our life. I refuse to wear certain kind of shirts. Shirts that say, football is life. I see that. Those things. Music is life. Do I love football and life? I do. I really do. But something else is life. Any one of those kind of ideas. Because here's the truth. Jesus is life. And it is, don't ever think something else's life. Okay? We're dealing with something really important here. When I worshiped him today, it felt like I came to life. I can't speak for you, but that's how I felt today. I just felt a joy. I felt like peace. I felt all my troubles just melt off me. That's what I felt today. When I hear his voice, it causes me to come to life. It's like I wake up. It's like, oh my goodness. Why? Well, you know, because his words are spirit and they are life. That's what he said. When I have close communion with Jesus, I come to life. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is my life. Paul uses some wordplay here in these next few verses. We're going to look at them. Colossians 3 and 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Say hidden.
Hidden.
Say krupto. That is a Greek word for hidden, krupto. Hidden, to conceal. It is the word where we get crypt from, right? Crypt. What is a crypt? It's a tomb. It's a grave. That's the idea of a tomb or a grave, to conceal, to hide. When you die, you died, and what do you do with a dead life? You bury it. You hide it. You conceal it within the grave. You are hidden. Your dead life is hidden, buried with Christ in God. And this burial in Scripture is an allusion to what? What New Testament act? Baptism. Burial, hiding, concealing is an allusion to baptism. Just as Paul told us in Colossians 2:12, one chapter earlier, having been buried with him in baptism. Look at that, Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So do you understand that Paul is bringing back these ideas over and over again? In chapter 2, he's talking about being raised with Christ. And in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, since then that you have been raised with Christ. And over here in verse 12 of chapter 2, he's talking about being buried with Christ. And here in chapter 3, verse 3, he's talking about dying and being hidden with Christ. Do you see this? It's not a coincidence. He is teaching us about the life of a Christian in Christ. You died and you've been buried. At the funeral, there comes a moment where they close the casket. You've experienced that, right? You have an open casket funeral and people go forward and they have a time of closure where they say goodbye to their loved ones. But there comes a moment at every funeral where they close the casket. And that body is taken and concealed, not to be seen again. Baptism is the moment in the life of a Christian where we close the casket on our old life. Your life is now hidden with God. And for you to have your life hidden in Christ and then try to go back to that old life would be like digging up an old body. You would never do that in the natural. That would be sick and gross and disgusting to do it in the natural. Can I tell you, it is sick and gross and disgusting for us to do it in the spiritual. You are dead and buried in those sins. It's time to close the casket. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
All right. Colossians 3 and 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, say it, appears. All right. This is a Greek word, and it's really hard to say. Phaneroa, something like that. It's close. I got really close. Y'all just leave this boy from Texas alone, all right? I did my best on that, y'all. All right. It means to appear. It makes to manifest, to show. Now, these are two verses apart, right? He's talking about your sinful old life, your carnal life is kryptos, hidden. And then the new life of Christ is phaneroa, appearing. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Right? He's trying to bring this out to us. When Christ appears, so who you are, that old life is concealed, and now Christ, who is your life, appears. When Christ appears, you will appear. The person you were always meant to be will appear. The person who loves like God loves will appear. The person that is strong enough to walk away from addiction will appear. The person that is patient in love and self-sacrificing in love will appear. The person you were always supposed to be appears when Christ appears. It is not that you go away. Now, this is important to me. I like my individuality. Let me tell you, it's not that I go away. It's not that I cease to have a personality, that I become a Christian robot, must worship God, or some kind of Christian cookie cutter that's got no individuality. That's not it at all. You will appear. It says you will appear. It's not that you are a copy or some kind of robot that's thoughtless. It's that who you are always meant to be appears. And let me tell you, that's where Christianity always gets the bad rap. That's where we always get the bad rap. They're like, oh, y'all are just all the same and there's no individuality. No, 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 you don't get it. No, who you are, if you would just walk into this thing, you would be the person you were always meant to be. You would actually be the person that your children love. You know that saying about, oh, Lord, let me be the person my children think I am. I've become very aware of that as a parent. Lord, they think I've hung the moon. Lord, actually let me be that person. They actually think I'm always good and sweet. And oh Lord, help me to actually be that person. Well, in Christ, that person shows up. In Christ, that person that loves shows up. It's not me being a cookie cutter. It's me being a redeemed Chris Fluitt. And I still have all my thoughts. I still have my individuality, but now I'm redeemed. Now I'm everything I was ever meant to be, and I find that I become everything I really want to be. I want you to focus on these words here. With him in glory. You will appear where? With him in glory. The fact that we can appear alongside the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is amazing. Yes. Right? I see people all the time. The other day I saw a friend who somehow had a picture taken with Ice-T. I think it was Ice-T. No, it was Ice Cube. I get them all confused. I'm so sorry. I am totally not relevant. And he was posting that on Facebook, and everybody's like, oh, so cool. It's so great. It's, oh, man, he's hanging out with Ice somebody. It's good. Vanilla Ice? That wasn't Vanilla Ice. But we like to think about, man, what would it be like to stand by a celebrity? Oh, could you imagine being with a political leader? Could you imagine being with an important, like, author? And you are. Y'all are with Vicki Skinner today. And yeah. And we think about that. Let me tell you, that is none of those things compare to appearing alongside Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the one who was and is to come. You appear right next to him. Your Bible says that Christ will return to earth, and he's going to return not empty-handed. He's going to return with an angel army and with another group. What's that group? His saints. He's going to return with his saints. He is going to ride in on the horse. It is such a powerful thing to read. It says that grace and love and truth, what is it? Faithful and true is written on his leg, and it's just powerful. It's like he's all in white. You're going to be there. Amen. He has given you promise that you will appear with him in that moment. Amen. The devil and all his demons are going to look up and they're going to see Jesus. They're going to look over. They're going to see you. The one they tried to trip up. The one they tried to lie to. The one they tried to drag down into their hell. They're going to see you in the glory and the power of Jesus Christ. You ought to let the devil have it for a moment. Devil, you are a liar. I'm going to appear with him. Yes, I am. I want to appear with him in glory. What's that about? In glory, in glory. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, it declares that only God is glorious. Have you ever run across a verse like that? That only God is glorious. Isaiah 42:8 is a key one. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my what? Glory to another or praise to idols. It is clear that God's glory and praise is off limits. Would you agree? It is off limits. Don't you dare give his glory to something else. Don't you dare give his praise to something else. I am all for going to rock concerts, but you be very careful in how you act at a rock concert or a football game or at some celebrity event, because your praise is supposed to go to who? And the glory is supposed to go to who? You be very careful. Don't let your praise and glory go to someone else. That is idolatry. So it's clear his glory is off limits. We're talking about with him in glory. But his glory is off limits. But we see this in the New Testament. Look at this. This is wild. And there's several verses like this. Hebrews 1:3. Oh man, I tell you, if you want to just memorize a powerful verse, memorize the first few verses of Hebrews 1. But this verse 3 is amazing. It says, the Son is the radiance of God's what? Glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Jesus, the Son, is radiating with God's glory. Where is his glory seen at this moment? In Jesus Christ. No one knew that was possible. No one knew that was possible. Moses shone with a measure of God's glory. Nobody could look at it. Now we are seeing the glory of God in Jesus Christ, and we can actually look at it. We can actually see it. We can actually behold it. No one knew that was possible until God put on flesh and came to earth. That's what that is. So, God who doesn't share his glory with anyone, it is seen in Jesus Christ. Now look at this, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, that's referencing creation, right? In the beginning, he said, let there be light. Let the light shine out of darkness, made this light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So right here is another verse. It is saying that God's glory is displayed. Where is it displayed? In the face of Jesus Christ. God's glory is placed within and upon Jesus Christ. Christ displays God's glory. And one day we will appear with him in glory. What does that mean? Well, get ready. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in the sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Verse 18. I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be what? Revealed where? In us. Oh, wait. God doesn't give his glory to anyone, yet we see it radiating from the face of Jesus Christ. God doesn't give his glory to anyone, but there is coming a day when the glory of God is going to be revealed in you. In you. Now, let me tell you, You might just say, that's what's the big deal? If you don't know that's a big deal, it's the biggest of all deals. It is a big, big deal that God would have his glory upon you and being revealed in you is amazing. It is exactly what Satan wanted. I will be like the Most High, he said. God's telling you this, you will be just like me. Children, you're my heirs, and you will be just like me, just like Christ is like me. Like the glory that only I have, that the devil wanted, I'm going to place it in you. It's going to be revealed in you. And that's where Paul, who goes through all kinds of suffering, says, listen, my suffering's not worth comparing to the glory that's to come. The glory that's going to be revealed within us. God, whose glory is displayed in the face of Jesus, that same glory will be revealed in us. God is going to place his glory upon us. We talked about the Jesus life. Let's talk about the glorious life. Do you want a glorious life? I want to tell you that the Jesus life, I think one person wanted the glorious life. Anybody want the glorious life? Yeah. Oh man, that's so good. All right. God, sorry to wake you guys. All right. The Jesus life is a glorious life. Can you say that with me? The Jesus life is a glorious life. There are three stages to the Jesus life. Let's get some theology going right here. Three stages to the Jesus life. Do you know what those stages are? Do you know? Do you know what they are? Well, first you become a church member. Then you might become a pastor. Then, if you're really holy, you'll be a Sunday school teacher. God bless our Sunday school teachers. All right. No, the Christian life can be narrowed down to three stages. I mean so directly that everything you experience in Christ is in one of these three sectors. Sector one is justification, being justified. Number two, being sanctified. Number three, being glorified. Justified, sanctified, glorified. Say it. Justified, sanctified, glorified. We are justified by Jesus. He takes away your sin, and then it is justified, never sinned. If you want a quick way to understand what justified means, it's justified, never sinned. He will take away your sin, not so that you just now don't have sin on you. No, the way he views you, the way that heaven views you, is like you never, ever, ever, ever sinned. That's how powerful justification is. Justified, never sinned. And then we are being sanctified by Jesus. Now, where justification is an instant moment, sanctification is a process where we become more and more like Jesus. And that's by living a holy life, okay? Sanctification is a process. Somebody say process. All right. Then one day we will be glorified. We will be transformed when Jesus Christ appears. The scripture says, we shall be like him when we see him as he is. He's going to show up. We see him and we're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed, completely different. If you want to live the glorious life, then you need to be justified and become sanctified. You've got to. You got to do it. Justification happens at the moment you repent and have all your sins washed away by Jesus. Justification happens in an instant, okay? Sanctification is a process, and Paul talks a little about this process in the next two verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. The wrath of God is coming. What is that? That's the judgment of God. Where is it right now? I don't know where it is, but I know it's coming. All right? By the way, where does the judgment of God begin? Begins in the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. So if anybody needs to be ready, it should be us right here, right? We got to be ready. There are two options because wrath is coming. You will either be put to death by the wrath of God, the judgment, Scripture calls that the second death. Revelation 21:8. It's a great verse on it. So you will either be put to death by the wrath of God, or you will put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You will either be put to death, or you will put to death the things of your earthly nature. Do you see that? You get to decide, but something's got to die. Something's got to die. Remember that Paul started this chapter by saying to place your heart and your mind and your life where? On things above, not on earthly things. And here he's talking about an earthly nature. Whatever belongs to that earthly nature, putting it to what? Death. Has he been talking about death? Yes. Now he is telling us to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature. Verse 7, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Here he's drawing back to the idea of your life that died and became hidden, and the Christ life that now appears. He says, you used to have this kind of life. And what is he talking about? He's talking about the things that need to be put to death. You used to have that kind of life. Where is it now? It's hidden. It's concealed. It's been put to death. You got to put it to death. It's like there is a second life. The way Paul talks here. Do you see what I'm talking about? You died, and now when Christ, who is your life, it's like, well, wait, so that life is dead, and now here is a new life. Did Jesus ever talk to us about a second life? He called it being born again. What chapter? John 3, important verse. He says, you must be born again. This life, he's looking at a Pharisee, a religious leader, and he looks at them and says, this life that you put so much emphasis on, that you think is so important, it needs to end, and you need to be born again. Religious people don't like to hear that, because we want to say, no, this life I'm living is just fine. I'm going to earn my way to heaven. No, this life that you're living ain't good enough. All it will get you is a second death. You need to die, be hidden in Christ, Christ to appear, become your life, as you're born again. Do you see it? Do you see it? Anybody thankful to be born again? Anybody thankful for the life that can only be found in Jesus? I tell you what, I just got to be real with you. The best I can do is to foul everything up. I got one amen. All right. That's right. I've seen you, Pastor Chris. It's true. No, I'm telling you, the best I can do in life is usually foul things up, mess things up, get angry, work in my earthly nature. Yeah, those things that ought to be put to death. That's the best I can do. The best I can do in this life under my own self is eventually die and hope I didn't mess up my children too much. But in Jesus Christ, I have a brand new life. I become the person I always wanted to be. I become the person I always wanted my children to see me be. And I have all of that in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Jesus life. I'm talking about the glorious life. And in order to have this glorious life, you have to be justified and you have to be sanctified. You have to have a new life. Colossians 3:8. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. That old self is where? It's dead, it's hidden, it's concealed, and in a grave. I took some time to ponder the differences between verses 5 and verse 8 through 9. If you got your Bibles, look at that real quick. He gives two lists, and he doesn't make them one big list. He separates them. And I'm like, what are these lists about? Why does he separate them? Let me tell you, here's one thing you need to know about Paul's inspired writings. He doesn't just like write things that are afterthoughts. He has reason for why he writes what he writes. It is well thought out, and it is also inspired by the Spirit. So he didn't like make a list and go, oh yeah, I almost forgot these other things too. He had a purpose for them being two different lists. Both lists hold things that we should no longer do. Amen? Do not misunderstand me and think, oh, Pastor Chris thinks I should do these things. No, that's the opposite of what Paul meant. Oh, man, I'm going to lie all the time. This is great. Oh, slander, filthy language. Yeah. Verse 5 talks about earthly nature. You remember that? Can we look back at verse 5 here? Earthly nature, the word for nature there is melos. It means member, a physical limb of the human body. In other words, I really don't like the NIV's use of the word nature there because it's really an earthly physical body part. And you don't really get that with the word nature, right? When you say nature, it's like, ooh, I don't know, some like spiritual thing you can't touch. No. In fact, the KJV, King James Version, says it like this. Earthly members. In other words, your physical body. Okay, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your physical body, your physical members. And then he lists these sins that are accomplished through physical means. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and even greed, which is idolatry. Paul is condemning the use of your physical body towards sexual sin and indulgence. Do you see it? Paul calls this idolatry. What is idolatry? Why is it idolatry? Here's why. Because your members, your physical body, was meant to worship and honor God. And when you use it this way, you are worshiping your own selfish and sinful desires. When you take something that is a God thing and use it not for God, that is idolatry. Your body is meant to worship the Lord. And when you commit sexual sin, when you commit greed, when you commit lust and evil desires with your body, you are committing idolatry. These hands were meant to worship the Lord. This mouth was meant to sing His praise. This body is an instrument of the Lord. It's meant for His praise. It is idolatrous to take an instrument that is supposed to be used for the worship of God and then use that instrument to worship something other than God. Don't you dare do it. Church, we need to control our physical bodies because your body is the what of God? It's the temple of God. The temple is where they would go to have communion with God, to make things right with God, to worship God. That's what your body is. Your body is the vehicle that you use to worship. And when you worship something other than the true God, you are committing idolatry. Can I get an amen? Okay, so he's talking about physical members of your body. Then in verse 7 and 8, Paul addresses practices. The word, Greek word there is praxis, which means works and deeds. It stands out to me that the things listed in verse 7 and 8 are more internal than the physical external things mentioned in verse 5. I'll let you look at that real quick. Verse 8, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as anger. Anger is something that lives within, isn't it? Rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its praxis, with its practices. Paul wants us to put to death and to take off sin. We need to close the casket on this dead body. It is part of the sanctification process of becoming more like who? Jesus. We must take off the old self if we are ever to put on Christ. Colossians 3:10, and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We have to put on a new self. This new self is Jesus Christ. This is what everybody that's got an addiction, I wish would learn. Because addiction teaches you to turn over a new leaf. But Jesus offers you so much more than a new habit, than a new day or a new action. He gives you a brand new self. If you are under an addiction, I want to tell you what you need is far more than to just change your habit. You need a brand new self that comes through justification. The old Chris Fluitt is put in a casket and buried. The new self is now put on, and it's Jesus Christ. All right, we're being renewed. Now, can I tell you, that's not a one-time renewal? Because justification, that's an instant thing, but sanctification is a process. It's a process in the Old Testament. Anytime they touch something unclean, they would have to undertake the sanctification process again. You have to undertake a sanctification process when you sin. It's called repentance. It's called praying to God, confessing that you are a sinner. You need to be renewed continually. You also need to be renewed in knowledge, the knowledge that God gives. You should open your Bible and be renewed in knowledge. You should pray and worship and be renewed in knowledge. There is a renewing knowledge that comes from Jesus Christ, all right? And it says you need to be renewed in the image. That's a Greek word we talked about in chapter 1. Anybody remember that word? Icon. It's like icon. It's where we get the word icon. This renewal brings us into the image of Jesus Christ. We start to look like Jesus. We become like Jesus. We have the glory of God being revealed within us. Glorification is something that will be completed ahead of us, but the glorification process can already start today as Jesus's glory, as God's glory is being revealed in you. It could start today. The glorification process could start today. There needs to be a glorious church. You need to have a glorious family. You need to have a glorious marriage. You need to be a glorious student. You need to be a glorious worker that's walking around continually receiving the glory of God. There's a scripture that tells us to walk in ever increasing glory, from glory to glory to glory. We need that in our life. We need that. The renewal brings us into the image of Jesus. Verse 11. Here there is no... Wait. Where is here? Here. What are you talking about? Here. Anybody, what's he talking about? Where's here? What? Jesus Christ. This image. This new self. That's where here is. Here, in this new image, in this renewed knowledge, in this renewed image of Jesus Christ, that's where here is. Look on. Here, everything is different. Read this verse. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This, taking notes, that ought to remind you of Galatians 3 and 8. We're all one in Christ. There's now no longer Jew or Gentile. It mentions one extra thing in Galatians 3. There's no male or female. So you can study that out. That's wonderful. But what we have here is everything is different in the life of Jesus Christ, in this glorious life. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew. Do you know what that is? That's national difference. There's no national differences. God gets rid of national difference. We don't look on that nation and go, oh, what a bunch of dummies over there. We can't stand that nation. No, we don't do that anymore. There is no circumcised or uncircumcised. That's religious difference. We could go back a chapter or two, to actually chapter 2, where he talks about uncircumcision. He talks about circumcision. Here he just wipes it all away. It says none of that is existing anymore here in the new self. That religious difference among us is washed clean. Let me tell you, every Christian will run into another Christian with religious difference. Right? And man, I've been in some nasty arguments like that. All of that needs to be wiped away here in the new self that is Jesus Christ. All right? And then next, there is no barbarian or Scythian. Without getting deep into this, because like the scholars are all over the map on this one, here's what it means. Cultural difference. We have different cultural difference. We have, in our nation right now, we have real huge differences over skin color or backgrounds or what denomination we come from or any of those things, right? We should wipe all of that stuff away because here in this new self, all of that division is taken away. And then last, there is no slave or free. That's economic difference. Right there, he takes away national difference, religious difference, cultural difference, and economic difference. And then he says this, but Christ is all and is in all. We have so many barriers in our society. We have so many divisions. Paul says that Christ removes all these barriers and divisions. All right, so I'm going to need your help. I want y'all to speak out here, okay? What do we say to our national differences according to that scripture? But Christ is all and is in all. Are you with me? You follow me? What do we say to our religious differences? We say, but Christ is all and is in all. What do we say to our cultural difference? But Christ is all and is in all. What do we say to our economic difference? But Christ is all and is in all. What do we say to our political differences? But Christ is all and is in all. What do we say to our racial differences? But Christ is all and is in all. What do we say to our sexual differences? But Christ is all and is in all. Our Jesus and the new life he gives removes all the stupid barriers you hate so much about society. That's what religion gets this wrong because religion like obstructs and creates some of these barriers. That's not what Jesus came to do. We're getting it all wrong if that's the case. He wants to remove all those barriers and that he becomes all and is in all. That's great news for a world that seems more divided than ever. That person, I'm going to give you a new way to look at the world. Here it is. That person over there. You might describe them as a black man. You know what I see? I see Christ. Why do you see Christ? Because Christ is all and is in all. All right, go a little further. That person over there, that's not a wealthy businesswoman. No, that person is Christ. Why do you say that? Because Christ is all and is in all. That person over there is not a Democrat or a Republican. That person is Christ. Because Christ is all and in is in all. I challenge you to see people differently. That is what Paul is telling the church in Colossae. The new self, the glorious life, it changes everything to the point that you start seeing Jesus everywhere. That person over there that claims to be a Muslim, a Jew, or an atheist, I see Christ. Here's why. I know that Christ died for them. I know that Christ is right now calling to them. I know the greatest thing that could ever happen in their life is that they recognize that Christ is all and is in all. To hate them would be to hate Christ. That person over there that lives a different lifestyle, they are in a relationship outside of marriage. They are perhaps homosexual or they are trans, right? I see Christ. Do you see Christ? Oh, that person is loved by Jesus. Jesus never picked up stones against me, so why would I want to pick up stones against them? To throw a stone at them would be throwing stones at Christ. Oh, Pastor, are you talking about universalism here? No, I'm not. If that's your argument, just drop that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about the new life where you see that Christ is all and is in all. The person that made you so mad on the freeway, you just didn't look at them right. That was Christ. The person right now that you're having struggles with in your home, you're not looking at them right. That's Christ, and Christ is present in them, trying to work out good things in them, and you too. Trying to work out good things in you too, all right? You look at yourself in the mirror and you see a loser. You see somebody and you've got suicidal thoughts. You know why that is? You aren't looking at yourself right, because Christ is in all and is all. He is all and is in all. You, when you look in that mirror, don't you dare say bad things about you. That's saying bad things about Christ. I'm not going to put up with you doing that. That person who is a hypocrite, sits on the church pew, but is a bigot, is a liar, is greedy. I see Christ. Christ is trying to save them from themselves. I know that Christ is trying to bring me into his love. We think, say, and do things to people that we would never think, say, and do to Christ. Little do we realize that we are thinking, saying, and doing it to Christ. Because Christ is all and is in all. We need Christ. We need him to change the way we see people. We need him to bring us into a new self. We need to close the casket on our old way of treating people, on our old way of seeing people. I tell you what, there is no room for racism in Christ. There is no room for sexism in Christ. There's no room for hatred whatsoever. There is no room for backbiting in Christ. None of that. Can I tell you, none of this can happen unless we close the casket and have a great big funeral. I wish we just had a mass funeral here today at Redemption Church. Someone put that on Twitter, see what happens. I'm sure Twitter always responds very well, right? Colossians 3 and 3, look back at this verse. For you died. You got to die in order for the rest to be true. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. There is a new self present for you today from Christ. Whatever it is, I've said a lot today. Maybe something hit you in the heart. Maybe I didn't say something, but you're getting hit in the heart about something that's in your life that shouldn't be there. I want you to get a hold of the new self. There is a glorious Jesus ready to give you a new birth. If you don't know if you're born again, you need to be in this altar. You need to be here today. We're going to be talking to God right now. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Don't let me talk you into it. You come because you want to come. Jesus came to justify us. He came to justify me. He came to wash away all our sins. If you've never been justified, you can leave justified today. All your sins washed away. Jesus came to sanctify me. He came to wash me clean. And yeah, it's a process. But maybe, we need to get a hold of the sanctification of Jesus Christ today. Ask him to give us purity. Ask him to take away our sin. Ask him to take away the evil members of our body that are used for sin. And Jesus came to receive glory. Can we give him glory, and can we allow him to reveal his glory within us? Jesus came to be all in all. Father, I ask you right now to come show up in this place. Lord, I want every person that's hearing my voice to feel your presence, God. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would reveal your truth to them. Lord, I ask, Lord, that they would repent of their sins. In fact, let's repent right now. Will you listen to me? Let's repent. Father, I'm a sinner. I have said the wrong things. I have thought the wrong things, and I've done the wrong things. Father, forgive me of my sin. Cover me with the blood of Jesus. I want to be a brand new person in you right now. Friend, if you prayed that and you really believed it and really confessed that you're a sinner, God just forgave you that quickly. Now you need to work on sanctification. You need to work on walking away from sin. There are sins and habits in your life you're going to have to put to death. You're going to have to stop doing these evil practices. Stop doing them. Ask him right now, Father, forgive me and help me, Lord, to stop doing those things. Lord, help me to stop looking at pornography. God, help me to stop cursing at people. Lord, help me, Lord, not to lust after other things. God, help me not to be greedy, Lord. Help me not to be a gossip. Lord, help me and move and minister in my life, God. I want Christ to show up and be in me and be all that I am. Christ, who is my life, appear. Christ, be my life. Be the center of who I am. Be my future. Be my past. Be my present. Be all, God, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God in this place. Come on, let's get a hold of Him. Let's not just go through the motions. There is a God that can give you a brand new life right now. Don't you want it? Reach up your hands and receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's talk to God in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.